So, my dear brothers and sisters, the Archbishop of Denver has asked us in this week and the first week of November to once again preach on the role we play in a political life. Now, in what the Archbishop has asked, he has also asked us to speak about having our consciences formed. And as you may all remember, about 3 weeks ago, I spent a three-week homily series on the subject of formation of our consciences. So I'm not going to repeat what was already preached. I invite you, if you haven't heard those homilies, you can go to our website, and my homilies are posted on that website, and so I invite you to re-listen to those, because they are it is very important that, especially as we approach this election, that we do it with properly formed consciences. Today, as I was listening to the gospel and praying with it, and then also as we were praying the opening prayer, I was struck in the gospel how James and John approached Jesus with a worldly view of power and strength, and they're interested in the first places, and they're not seeing the world with the eyes of faith, and they're not seeing what Jesus is doing with the eyes of faith. And then as we were praying the opening prayer today, the prayer said, Almighty ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart. And I invite you to really take this prayer to heart, especially in this next month, and that we may truly, as we partake in the political process, that we may have our minds with the mind of Christ. That we may vote with the mind of God. And that we take that opportunity seriously. We have some very serious issues that we are going to be facing as a state. And today I primarily want to speak about Amendment 79. And then also I want to speak very briefly I want to speak on Amendment 79, and then in the beginning of November, I'll speak on Amendment J. And the best way to speak about Amendment 79 is to use the words of the Archbishop, who said it very clearly. So I'm going to read a letter that the Archbishop issued about 2 weeks ago, and I agree with him that this Amendment 79 is something that is trying to fly under the radar, and that we're not being informed about in the proper manner. So, part of our process in voting should be that we are educated on what we're voting on, and that we're not just voting on our uninformed or uninformed consciences. So, anyway, the Archbishop says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I write to you today as your shepherd with a deep concern regarding Amendment 79, which will be on the Colorado state ballot this fall. As Catholics, we are called to build a culture of life. We believe in the inherent dignity of human life and that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God and as part of God's plan. We are to promote the dignity of human life from the moment of conception to natural death. The gift of the marital act and sharing in God's creation of human beings was a blessing God bestowed on man and woman before the fall. Sadly, some Catholics today are lured by the voice of the serpent, as Adam and Eve were at the fall, and support this constitutional amendment creating a so-called right to abortion. Furthermore, we believe that parents are the first teachers of their children in faith and have responsibility for their children until they reach majority age, which this amendment perilously disregards. Based on our faith in God and these fundamental teachings of Scripture and tradition, I urge you to vote against Amendment 79, also known as the right to abortion. This proposition does three things contrary to the dignity of the human person. It creates a constitutional right to unrestricted abortion for all 40 weeks of pregnancy. It eliminates parental notification laws and allows for taxpayer funding for abortions, which is currently prohibited. Colorado has some of the strongest pro-abortion rights in the entire world, and this proposition is even more extreme. If we do not defeat this, pro-life legislation will be unable to be passed due to the constitutional right to abortion, and countless children known only to God will die in Colorado because of state-subsidized abortion. To pass, it needs 55% of the vote, and recent polling data show that if more Coloradans knew what this amendment would do, support for the amendment would drop as low as 47%, making the support for the amendment fall below the threshold the pro-abortion lobby needs to win. We have a path to victory. Coloradans need to know that Amendment 79 creates a constitutional right to abortion and bans any limits on late abortion. Even restrictions on abortions in the 9th month for healthy mothers and healthy babies would be illegal under 79. Data from the Pro-Abortion Institute for Family Planning shows an increase in late abortions in Colorado since the Dobbs decision. It is likely that this amendment would lead to an even greater increase in third trimester abortions when the baby can feel pain and survive outside the womb. It is important to know that not all medical procedures, even some that end in the death of an unborn child, are abortions. Abortion is the intentional killing of the pre-born child. The pro-abortion lobby abuses heartbroken mothers and families to advance their cause, claiming that medical care after a miscarriage or when an unborn child dies in the womb is equivalent to an abortion. This is false. Abortion is never health care. Health care does not, and I repeat, does not seek the death of the child. I would encourage you to research the principle of double effect for a deeper understanding of this important nuance. Another troubling aspect of this amendment is its ban on parental notification laws. The pro-abortion lobby places words such as shall not impede on a right to abortion in their amendments intentionally. It means that all laws protecting parental rights are nullified. There is no age restriction on abortion in Colorado, and 79 would prevent parents from being informed if their 15-year-old daughter has an abortion. Parents must have the right to know if their adolescent daughter is being pressured into getting an abortion by their boyfriend or someone in authority such as their coach, teacher, school nurse, or counselor. Third, the amendment would allow for taxpayer funding for abortions without any restrictions or limits. This means that if the amendment passes, the state could mandate taxpayer funding for late abortions for both in-state and out-of-state women. Should this amendment pass, the Colorado legislature could allocate millions of dollars annually for abortion as soon as 2025. As though it were simply a mundane budgetary procedure. Finally, although abortion is wrong on its face, and not only because of the long-term consequences, we must ponder the ramifications of one abortion and the difference it makes in our lives and history. Just imagine if one of your grandparents were aborted. Who would not be here today? When I considered the outcome, had my grandmother not been born, my mother and seven of my aunts and uncles would not be here. 25 first cousins wouldn't be here. 26 second cousins would not be here. And so on down the line. Or imagine if Martin Luther King had been aborted and how the course of history would have changed with no MLK for the civil rights movement. Do we truly understand the gravity of abortion, or do we think life is just a game of chance with no meaning or purpose? As a community, we must stand together to protect the most vulnerable among us, and ensure that our laws reflect respect for life, parental rights, and the truth that life is a gift. Every Catholic is called by God to be pro-life. I urge you to consider this amendment's grave implications and join me in opposing it. And if, in addition to your vote, you would like to support the campaign against this horrendous amendment, please visit www.righttoknowco.com, because Coloradoans have a right to know what this damaging amendment will do to generations to come. Yours in Christ, Most Reverend Samuel J. Aquila, Archbishop of Denver. I want his words to sit with us for a minute so that we truly understand a lot of times, my dear brothers and sisters, we can get caught up in thinking as the world thinks. You and I, as I have said before, are not called to think the way the world thinks. We are called to see the world and to engage the world with the mind of Christ. We have an opportunity to fight against this absolutely horrendous amendment. They're going after life. They're going after the authority you have as parents. We cannot allow this. And you say, well, Father, we're not of the huge population of Colorado. We're a small part of that. Yeah. But my dear brothers and sisters, we are the Calvary that God wants to use in order to destroy this, in order to put an end to this. And so I invite you, as the Archbishop said, let us truly see the world as God sees the world, not agreeing with the world. The world has lost its compass because it has removed God. Let us not be part of that. Rather, let us be part of making God present. I invite you, vote no against this horrible amendment. Don't let it happen here. Let us stand up for the truth that God invites us to stand up for. Today, as we come to this Eucharist, my dear brothers and sisters, God comes to give us the strength, to live, to see the world, to live in the world with the mind of Christ.